Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam this morning from Canto 4, Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabhai. Text number 14. वैष्णवं शास्त्री रूपं सागरजातं सर्गना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सावद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सर्गनारहिता श्रीशाखान्वितं च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपीलकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि ऋषभानुसुतदेवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत राधा शिव हरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण This purport is self-explanatory. I don't have to speak much on this purport. But then, you know, in my village and all, there used to be a festival. In this festival, what they do is they all come together. And then, they all come together and then when the festival is about to start, they nominate a person who will be the center of attraction. And they decorate that person very nicely. They give a very nice holy bath, nicely holy bath, and then they apply chandan, and then they put a garland like this, nice garland, and then they all wait there, and that person is a goat. They want to offer a sacrifice to their Lord, so everyone is very much attracted, you know, concentrating on that goat in the middle of the whole village. Basically, there is another person with a big sword. So what they do is, they pour cold water on that goat, Abhishek. So the goat has to stand. The moment the goat, beat the shake, like usually you see animals, you know, when they take a cold bath or something, they come out and they shake the whole body. So that is like a sanction. Okay, you can go ahead and, you know, cut it. So they will be waiting and watching. They will pour cold water. And the goat will be like simply standing, and then they pour more again and again, till the goat, you know, becomes freezing, and then they chase, and then, you know, give the. So, obviously, if we pour cold water on ourselves, we will be shivering. So, I feel like this, you know, giving this purport, and then, you know, all are watching. I've got a garland now, so soon I will be offered that thing. Anyway, so. So this chapter, Narada Muni and Prachinapali, in the first starting of the chapter, Prachinapali is asking, see, I understand you told some allegorical story before, but I am too attached to fruitive, you know, activities. I can't understand. Can you be direct? Can you tell me the direct? Because here, if you see, in the previously, Narada Muni explaining about the story of Puranjan. And Prachinapali is asking, can you explain? So this chapter explains each and every allegorical term which was used in the story and what is the deeper or the spiritual meaning. Basically, the importance of association. One person, if a person, if you see in our life, normal materialistic activities means that do some fruitive activities, do some sense gratification, and that is a normal system. The system is that you work, you procreate, you enjoy, you satisfy the senses as much as you want. And whoever is coming as an obstacle, they are enemy. And who is enhancing your ego or enhancing your sense gratification is my friend and well-wisher. This is a normal system. And when we are getting an association of devotees, this changes. The moment when someone is getting association of devotees, then the perspective of life, then his approach towards sense gratification or fruitive activities is diminishing and is changing and is transforming. We can see from the life of Srila Prabhupada, Acharyas, here we can see Narada Muni. So the lack of association can lead one to, you know, fruitive activities. So that is the main important we can see here, how Narada Muni giving his association and valuable instruction to Prajna Bali. So here in the start of the purport, Prabhupada is saying, when the world becomes degraded, civilization becomes demonic. So if you see in our creation, there is a particular order is maintained. In our family or in our everyday activities, it is very difficult to keep things in order. We have everyday cleaning temple in a house also. Everywhere, every day they used to sweep, they used to clean, they used to fold. So things are to be in order, it makes a lot of effort to maintain, to keep in order the things in a regulated fashion. So we can see all of us, we are trying to keep things in order and we are putting a lot of endeavor for that. But in nature, everything is happening in a particular order. It's not topsy-turvy. We don't see the sun and the moon, all, you know, happens in a particular sequence. The rays in the east and the sets in the west. So there is an order in the, you know. So natural is to degrade. Even our Bhagavad Gita, when we are in passion, we are going down to ignorance. We have to make endeavor to be in goodness. Otherwise, it's, we are natural in going down. Like we are, when we get some awareness, when we get some conscious or some thinking, when we are child, we are doing things whatever comes on accord. We don't plan. But for example, when we are getting mature, when you are getting into family, you are getting, we plan. Okay, what is my saving? What is my future? So it is like a lot of endeavor to keep in order and also to upgrade. And this is materialistic thinking. But in spiritual, similarly it applies, because our consciousness is pure when we are coming into this world. When we are coming, the first is human birth. So in this chapter it is explained that when a jiva comes into material world, it takes up a human form of birth. Why? Because if you see other form of life, there is a particular sense which is very prominent, and there is a particular sense which is dominating up among other senses. Like a moth is attracted to the fire, or a deer is attracted to the hearing of the sound or from the hunter. We can know that each sense is so prominent, and the prominent sense is, they do it very much. Like some animals are good in eating, some animals are good in sleeping, some animals are having sex and reproducing. So their particular senses are very prominent, very powerful, and they are best in what they are doing. But in human form, all the senses are so powerful. And the problem is, when we are trying to satisfy all the senses, we cannot, no one wants to discriminate in this day and age, that I will only satisfy my tongue, not my eyes, or only my ears, not my skin. Not like that. You can see in market, supermarket, you can see products. Every individual product is there for every senses to get enhanced, so that you can be better in enjoying and satisfying the senses. This is the problem. So this is obviously, when a body is given which is meant for a different purpose, and we are degrading ourselves, because it's naturally you're going to degrade. It's like going a downstream in the river. For a jiva to enjoy, to experience and to have this illusion of I'm controlling things, it is making more worse and worse. So this is, the world became degraded because our consciousness is degraded. It's like if you see right now the crisis, everyone is very aware and careful of saving the body. Materialistic person also want to save the body, and a spiritual person also want to protect the body. But there is a gulf of difference to it. So because for a materialistic, for a person who is not in aware of any spiritual knowledge, in ignorance. For him, the body is all in all. Without the body, he cannot do anything. It's like you have an example of a car. We have a nice car and a driver. So there are two cars. For example, one devotee and non-devotee in this case. So there are two cars and there is a mechanic. So both the cars are a problem, are not working, are having issues. We are going to the mechanic. The mechanic is, for example, like a hospital or something. So we want to fix the car. Now, the materialistic person will say, if I get the car back, I will like to go fast. And a devotee like to get the car because, you know, I know where I'm going. So one person knows the destination, another person is interested in the speed. We always give an example that I want to go, you know, when flight was there. In the flight, the pilot was announcing, dear ladies and gentlemen, we have a very good news and a bad news for you. And please fasten your seatbelt like that. Then he say, you know, for the good news. The good news is that we are going in a high speed. No one has matched this speed. No one has, you know, ever upon touch this speed. We are going miles per hour, like super speed, supersonic, jet like that. So that is the good news. And the bad news is we don't know where we are going. And we don't know the destination. So that is more scary. In any journey, if you are getting a Uber or Ola, or you are booking a Didi, or you are getting into taxi or auto or rickshaw, whatever, first thing the question is, where do you want to go? That's the first question the person will ask. Which area, or even if you are booking in your app, you have to put your destination. Without the destination, the ride will not start. You may know where you are, but if you don't know where you want to go, then it is not going to help you. So a devotee, his body, he has to use the body because he knows where he wants to go. He wants to reach Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, or the spiritual world. Or he knows where his destination is. So he used to use the body to achieve the destination. This is the best bargain. What is that? Best of the bad bargain. Best use of the bad bargain. This is called best use of the bad bargain because this body is considered as a boat. If the boat is used to cross the ocean of nascence, then that is intelligent. If the boat is used just to have, enjoy, stay in the ocean, then you will not be able to get the full benefit of this boat. Because that's what happening. The materialistic, they also want to very much take care of their body. Because body is very important. Otherwise, how they can enjoy? The senses are the outlets of enjoying mentality. The outlets has to be paka. Otherwise, they cannot express their enjoying mentality or consciousness. So that is why it's very important for them. And for a devotee, the human form of birth is very rare. Is very extremely rare. The human form of birth is extremely rare because he can ask questions which is pertaining to stop his permanent solution to his suffering and also to get out of this whole mess. This is very important for human birth. So, here we can see, so anything lower the hip is considered ignorance. We are trying to enjoy above, below the hip. You know, then above in your stomach are the main, like torso, this part, you know, passion, the stomach is located there. And here, you know, goodness, the mind, someone wants to enjoy the mind, you know, then goodness. So, here, Puranjan, this story, the Puranjan is facing the sun. So when you're facing the east direction, east is more important because the sun is racing. And your face, you're facing towards the sun. So when you're facing towards the sun, the important senses comes in the face because that is facing the sun. Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, tongue. These are important senses. But here, then you see, when it's morning, they are not giving importance to the senses which is facing the sun, but it is opposite the sun, which is in the darkness, which is in your own shadow. Ignorance. So even among the senses, here if you see, the person is giving importance to genitals or the rectum, the lower part of the body. So obviously, that is we can know from nectar of instruction. Our tongue, our stomach and genitals are in one line. How one person is getting agitated of the genitals? Because his stomach is agitated. Here you say upastha, here the same word has come. Udara upastha vegam. So we can see the genital is agitated because the stomach is not controlled. Stomach is filled with so many obnoxious things. But then how the stomach is released? Because through the tongue. There is no control over the tongue, obviously, then there is no control over the belly, and obviously there is no control over the genitals. This is the discussion, you know, easy, we can understand, it's all in the same line. How directly one person get agitated with the genitals? You can't, you know, we have to put something in your mouth or see. The knowledge acquiring senses is where the lust is sitting. In Bhagavad Gita we can see the sitting places of the lust. Lust is there in the senses, in intelligence, in the mind, right? Three sitting places are there. So the senses are coated in a norm with this lust. Obviously the mind and intelligence are planning and executing and future, you know, how can I enjoy, how can I perform my desire, lusty desire. So these genitals are need to be controlled. How? By just controlling this tongue. Out of all the senses, the first sense we have to attack is our tongue, because the tongue is like the radar. If the ship, if the whole ship, the body is compared to the boat, I said that the boat has a radar, that is the tongue. This is very small, and even in the ship, if you see, it is shape of the tongue and it is very small, but it can make, you know, derail the whole ship in a different direction. It can take you in a different direction, which is, you know, degrading, again, coming back and coming down. So the tongue has to be used in two purposes. One is the vibration and tasting. So we have a simple process that we vibrate Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, chant the names of Krishna, and we take Krishna Prasada. This is all we have to do. We have to do two things, that you just take Krishna Prasada and chant Hare Krishna. So then this is an easy process. We don't have to do much. We don't have to do research work, because already done. Everything is done. The feast is ready. We just have to taste it. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is come on a Sunday feast like that. Prabhupada. Even Mahaprabhu was saying in the Adi Lila, there is a chapter, the tree and the trunks of devotional service, Mahaprabhu. In that, Mahaprabhu was requesting that when it explains the tree of devotional service, where the seed and then, you know, the principal roots and the trunk is Mahaprabhu himself, and the two main branches and the different branches, there are so many branches and sub branches and expansion. But Mahaprabhu is saying, all you have to do is, I need a distributor, I need a who can have the fruit. The fruit is everything ready, you just taste, you take as much you want and then give it to others. You don't have to prepare, you don't have to worry, because everything is ready. So this is a process. The process is very easy. Even the Panchatattva, they did the same thing. They planted the storehouse of love of water, they taken as much as they want, and they give it to others as well. So our process is the same. We just have to, the conclusion, the process, the things are given, we just have to have it for ourselves. It's like the mask which is coming out of the flight. First to save yourself and then give it to others. So similarly, we take Krishna Prasadam and chant the names of Krishna, purify ourselves and then give the same to others. This will control the tongue, it will control the belly and it will control the genitals. Because everything in the same line. So Prabhupada talked about Vrindavan. So, if you see the Vrindavan, which is located in the southeast of Delhi, 90 kilometers from is become like a tourist spot. It is much of like a, it's like a sightseeing place, because people want to. It's like any other ritual. They do some puja ritual without understanding the knowledge or the spirit behind that. Similarly, just by visiting the holy dham and seeing the place without hearing from a sadhu or associating from a sadhu is simply compared to a cow or an ass in the holy dham. Because how the dham is revealed? The dham is not revealed just by physically present there. It's not by just getting a ticket or going in a group to visit. I remember I was taking one of my relative, and then there was a big temple and where color lights and everything was there. And then my relative asked, is that an exhibition center? So many lights, so many people are there. What's happening here? So many. It's like fully crowded. Packed. People are, looks like they are having a trip. They go to different hill station and there, and then Agra, Taj Mahal. For them, Taj Mahal and Vrindavan temple is same. Like another sightseeing. It's the same for them. All the way we do the Taj Mahal, we do the Vrindavan, then we do the Red Fort in Delhi, then Qutub Minar, then India Gate. Everything is like package. It's a package deal, tourists and. I remember, when I was in, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was going to with my friends, like 50-100 people, we were going to a training. Training is like the name, but we want to go out. So we went to Bangalore. So Bangalore, the first site spot we stopped is ISKCON Temple. So it's a big landmark there, everyone knows ISKCON Temple. I thought ISKCON is just a name, like how we have Taj Mahal, Qutub Minar, like ISKCON is the name of this building, I thought. I don't know any meaning, anything, what is Krishna, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I never knew. I thought this is, this landmark name is ISKCON. And where it is, it's in the hill, that's it. So we all went, I can't remember even the deity's ways also, can you believe? Just went inside, to roam around, have some prasad and do, like later they give you. And then they got something, I got a laddu and then I had, and then went to Goa. So on the way, stopped in Bangalore, had the blessings of Lord, and then went to Goa, right? To party. So this is the life. So whether we don't understand, because if we go now, even without any knowledge of Vrindavan, and we read in the Krishna book, we read in the spiritual pastimes, the mangoes are full, no skin, no seed, so big, and it is lowering down, and is giving to Krishna, and the houses like, the bamboo, then all the jewels are there, even every tree is a kalpavriksha, every step is a dance. We need so many things, right? We have like white swans, and then peacock is there, parrots are there, lotus flowers are there, all the kuns are there, very lushy, green color grass, everywhere tulasi. These are all the description we read, and then we go there, what we see? Everywhere plastic. we don't see swan, we see pigs. Pigs here and there, stray dogs are there. Yeah. We don't see, grass, green grass. Every high-rise buildings are there. High-rise buildings are there, apartments are there, road is traffic, full pollution, auto rickshaws are full. We see this thing and we think, what is this happening? Where is the spiritual? So if we go with the external, Prabhupada's writing here. The Dham will not manifest with our eyes because our eyes have material contamination. Bhakti Vilochana, this is Bhakti Brahma Samhita. These eyes are to be anointed with the love of God or the devotional service, then you can see. For Prabhupada, wherever you go is Vrindavan. Wherever you see is Mayapur. He was in the US and there was Gaur Purnima. And he was feeling, separation from celebration of Gaur Purnima in Mayapur. But then he was saying, this is the actual celebration by fulfilling the orders of the spiritual master. The Lord is there. Even he came here to Melbourne, he said, this is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan. This is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan. So when a pure devotee, when he is traveling, he brings the Dham with him. his lotus feet wherever he is visiting, his dham. When you hear the, when Prabhupada was, the classic example we can see from Lilamrit, that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was making a yatra for all the devotees. And all the devotees have come to Vrindavan, and all the godbrothers of Srila Prabhupada, senior sannyasis, everyone came. And then when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was speaking, there were only few sannyasis and only Abhay Babu was there. Even though he's a grihastha, everyone went out to see the places. And only few were there, who were there in the pandal who wanted to listen from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And he could see that this person liked to hear. And he understands this is the real dham by hearing from a sadhu, from a spiritual master. Then your dham is revealed in your heart, not by just seeing. You can have a diary, or you can do, I can visit at this place, I visited that place, I have visited the whole of India. But still, you will not get the gist of it. You will miss completely. Like we nowadays, if you see, you can go to any place within 24 hours. You get a flight ticket, or you get a train or bus, you can reach the place within no time. But even in previous days, if you see, if they want to go to a place, it's a yatra. They walk for a month, they walk for weeks. So when they are walking that long distance, when they are going, they are not only physically present, but their mind is always also there, because it takes 1 week. Imagine you want to go to Vrindavan, it takes 1 week or 10 days. You are all constantly thinking, oh, I'm going, I'm reaching this place, let me go there, I'll be able to see. And you are creating that anxious, you are creating that excitement, you are creating that enthusiasm, you are creating that, and then when you are reaching physically, your mind is also there, and your consciousness, you are prepared for that. When there is no as such preparation mentally and physically present, then what happened? Then obviously you may go see, quickly come out. Like, sometimes you see temples, some people come for darshan. Gate, the door open, by the time the door is coming to close, they are already out. Like, they come quickly, grind the bill one time, and then come put in only all the loop, darshan, and then out. So they know, okay, fine, I've visited the temple, that's it. And they quickly, they are in the temple and they're planning the next thing, where I'm going to go. So this is what happened. Vrindavan here, explained. So Prabhupada is saying that people come for different motive. Here we say people like to indulge in sex in holy dham. Because they think that is spiritual. So your Prabhupada talks about savagias. Savagias, they think that by gratifying the senses that you can attain spiritual elevation. So this is many philosophies that there. So many people, they say, okay, fine, you have sex, desire, so indulge. You have any desire, do it. Do it till it get burnt. Do it till you are frustrated. Do it till you are want to give up, then you are complete. Then you don't want to look. So this is not going to help, because the more you satisfy the lust, it's not going to satisfy. It is going to come back big. That's what Krishna, if you see three gates to hell, lust, greed and anger. So when you satisfy the lust, it becomes greed. When you satisfy the passion, it is not going to subdue, or it is not going to upgrade to dumb goodness that you come to, knowledge, oh yeah, this is not working, or no, this is not. Even if someone who is academic, who is knowledgeable, who is very understandable, thinking that this is going to be suffering, he thinks, maybe I am doing in the wrong way. Maybe I should consult with some consultants. Maybe I should approach a professional in this field. How can I have, sense gratification more? So he is not doubting the process itself, but he is doubting the method which he applied the process. This is the illusion. This is such a great ignorance. He thinks maybe this product is not good. Maybe I should change the company, I should change the product, get my warranty back. This is what people are thinking, because they don't have any option and they are struggling. So this is very much same mentality. So here you see, Sagajas, they proclaim in Vrindavan, They can bring a group in Vrindavan and they do not the devotional activity. So then they end up in lower species. So Prabhupada, they are explaining, they take birth again in a hog or a monkey or a dog in Vrindavan because they have misused the human form of life and that too in Vrindavan. So that's why when devotees we are excited to go to Dham, similar excitement, what the degree to that excitement, we should be careful of not committing any offense in the Dham. That's why we should not recommend that not stay long in Dham because similarity can breed. We get adapted to the material and we see things material. We see the contamination, pollution, we see the dealings of devotees and others and we become very critical. So that's why we should avoid staying like luxury. Unless we have service, unless we have something very focused, then it is very difficult because Dham, you get benefit, but then committing an aparad, you will also get a lot of reaction. So we have wisdom, usually we see that, okay, devotees travel, they recharge, they come again, they do their service, they go to other service, preaching services, or any other service, but they come to Dham, take a visit, take the recharge, you know. Because of Srila Prabhupada, especially the Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, otherwise these Dhams are, you know, hidden. No one knew. No one knows Vrindavan and the places where Krishna performed pastime. If the Goswamis would have not excavated these places, we have the principal temple, Madan Mohan Temple, Damodar Temple, Radharaman Temple, Shyam Sundar Temple, we have a lot of seven principal temples are there. Imagine if the Goswamis have not excavated these places, it would have been hidden, we would have not known. And imagine if Srila Prabhupada would have not come out of India, obviously there is no way that around the world people would have known about the Vrindavan or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri. No one would have even if they would have known, they would have been just like another ritual gathering. Just come together, take bath in Yamuna or Ganga, take a dip and then go. They don't really understand the Dham, what is Dham means, what is the holy place. We can see from ourselves, when we are visiting alone, we may not get the full mercy or the full thing of the Dham. But when we are visiting with devotees, when the devotee is explaining about the pastime, about the leela, about the instruction, or about the whole place, when we hear, then their appreciation towards the Dham and the appreciation of the holy site actually increases. I did one time, I went to Govardhan, and then I did Parikram in Govardhan. So I did Parikram and then did quickly, you know, Govardhan, Srila Govardhan is there, Giriraj, Krishna personally lifted. So I did Parikram and then next time I went Parikram with Govardhan with the devotee. So we started in the morning 6 and then by the time we finished the Parikram, it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. So it was like he went to one place and then he talked about the Govardhan, he talked about the place, what happened here, why the Brajavasis are worshipping, what is happening here, why this site is so famous. Then different gods are there, different players are there, different villages there, different pastime is there. So when you hear from devotee about the Dham, then your appreciation, your attraction to the place increases. And then you are made, oh fine, this actually gives a real knowledge. Then next time when we go, we know, okay, this place is here, this place is there. And we are more careful, more Krishna conscious. So this verse we can see how if we give importance to the lower part of the body, then we should be prepared for the destination in lower species of life. Rajesh Muni sir, if anyone wants to add any comment or correction, yes, Rajesh.
The last line of the purport says, by living in Vrindavan as a dog, hog or monkey, the living entity can be elevated to the spiritual platform in the next life. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Vrindavan is the only place where all the sinful person can be rectified by means of taking birth in the form of. So you can here say that. So Prabhupada before that. So they do activities which are not conducive for the spiritual growth, then they are given a body which is conducive to perform the activities. Very simple, we know that from our philosophy. So, but then, because they are in that body in the Dham, then there is a chance that they can also be, you know, performing some devotional activities in that body. Sometimes, you know, if the prasadam eaten by a devotee is thrown and the dog eats, pure devotee eating prasadam, you know, Narada Muni, we can see from Bhagavatam, just by eating the remnants of that Bhakti Vedanta, he became an Anada. So we may not know that what is actually the potency, the three things, the dust of a pure devotee, the Mahaprasad of a devotee and the blessing, these three things we cannot comprehend. So by when sometimes the monkey, you know, we can see that sometimes the devotee is having something and the monkey can quickly and then take the things away, a banana or a biscuit or something. But the monkey doesn't know that, you know, doing Sagyada Sukruti, so can be elevated. Then again, if they are given a human birth, then they should be careful. But we forget.
So the question is, for example, after that, will they return back to Godhead or is there another interim birth?
Depends. We have seen from the scripture from Chaitanya Charitamrita that a dog gets liberated. Nimai Pandit, a dog got liberation. Because he was coming from, you know, Shivananda Sen, he was bringing the party from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, and there was a dog. And then they fed the dog with prasad, and they didn't see the dog. And then when they come to meet Mahaprabhu, the dog was there. And the next day, left the body. And then the Nimai was small, he got a puppy. And then he kept the puppy inside, and the mother was not happy. Mother Sachi was saying, this is, you know, this is dirty, you know, this is not good. And then somehow that the puppy actually, mother came, the dog mother was shocked, and the puppy gone with the mother, and then Nimai was so upset. He was saying, where did the puppy go? You actually did something. He was so upset, and then he went there and inside, and then finally the puppy was chanting. He was raising the hand and chanting Hari Bol. And then Satam later Nimai. And then Nimai came and then took the puppy to the spiritual world. So we don't know, because that's Krishna's. We cannot choose our destination. We can only choose our activities, and the reaction is given according to what we deserve. So basically, we don't know whether after the dog and hog and monkey, when they perform devotional service, what will happen? I don't know. Could be, you know, devotee, could be liberated. Yeah. Yes,
you were saying before that some of these they tell you you should fulfill your desires to the fullest. And I think there is a merit to that, because if you do, you eventually come to the realization that the more you're trying to enjoy, the more you're just suffering.
Yeah.
And there's only so much suffering that we can take. And from experience, yeah, the more you try to enjoy, it's the more suffering. And I think with that, you will just quite naturally, gradually start to wean down from those desires, because you realize it's just causing you suffering, and then you start looking for things that cause you more happiness. And I think that might be just like a natural progression that sort of everyone goes through, no matter what group, like faith or anything you're in. It's just like a natural progression of life. So, that's just a comment.
Yeah. You can do it. You can add some progression in life after life, you can do it. Take a bhakti and finish up this life. You can do that. You can can do it. Like you can gradually climb the ladder of yoga and come to bhakti yoga. You can gradually do bhakti and do it. Because when, how we can distinguish what is want and what is need? Where is the fine line that I today I'll stop? Like, you know, if you tell people eating meat, you stop meat and then you become devotee. Do you think they'll become, you know, I'll understand, I'll eat all the meat and everything, I'll come to a realization I'm getting a cancer, I'll stop this and I'll become vegetarian. No. Or you're doing some success verification and they know it's wrong. And you tell them, okay, you naturally progress. We cannot wait. It's urgency. So what we do, we give some positive people. So our philosophy is that you get the higher taste, you give the lower taste. So we give chanting, we give prasadam, we give books, we give, let them go. You want to do, okay, do. Do, but this you do this also. What happened? Then slowly you get interest through this, then you automatically leave. If the devotees would have told me that you have to stop meat, you have to become a good person, you have to follow four rigid principles, then only you can become devotee, I would say thank you very much. Thank you for your advice. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'll come once in a year and then I'll see, that's it. So, yes, natural progression is there, but how long? How many lives we have to see? So that's why we are preaching. Otherwise, we are leaving people, no? They will come to the understanding. Why we are preaching? They will come to their understanding, but we have to preach because we have to make the process fast. We cannot wait. Sorry?
Accelerate
the process. Yeah, we cannot wait till the time they turn to us. So we have to give. It's like a disease person will not accept the medicine. First of all, he will not accept I am disease. On top of that, he will not accept the medicine. So the doctor will put injection. Whether you want or not, this I have to do. He will put it. Child, if you take to the doctor, the child will say, I don't want medicine, I don't want injection, I'm okay, I'm alright. Right? So we cannot live like that. He is a dangerous person, so you have to put injection, so like that. Mm. Is that okay?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We'll stop here. Tadrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.